Hello, welcome to episode 3, Spotlight on Sophos. My name is Ross Collins. I'm a technical account manager for Arrow here in Ireland, and I'm joined by Jonathan Hope from Sophos.
Hi there. Hi, everyone. Welcome, Ross, a new voice to the podcast. Great to have you on board. So I tell you what, let's start with a bit about you, if that's all right, because the audience knows me. So give us a little introduction to yourself, Ross. Who are you and what do you do at Arrow?
Yeah, of course. So I'm with Arrow about 8 months now at this stage. I've kind of come from both a sales and technical background. I've worked on service desks for 5 or 6 years, but it's kind of just a bit of a different step up into distribution now, working with Sophos and Arrow.
Oh, fantastic. So why don't we use it as a bit of an opportunity to talk about the team in Ireland and how you support our Irish resellers when they're out there selling and promoting Sophos?
Yeah, so we've a great team here in Ireland. There's about 30 people in the Dublin office. We have people based up in Belfast, all around the country. I suppose we have a great relationship with all of our customers. Very close. We work hard. We in constant contact. We have a great team that knows the ins and outs of Sophos and knows how to look after their customers. I suppose as a distributor, we give the value add. We have a great technical team, we've great sales teams, we've heavy influence from the UK, so we get a lot of support from them. We can provide a lot that to an end user that potentially a partner may not be able to.
Fantastic. What else could you want from a distributor, I guess? And I remember you do a great event towards the autumn time frame, I think. I've spoken at that on many occasions. That's always a bit of a highlight in the calendar for me.
Yeah, exactly. So we have our TechNow event normally about November, December time of year, where we get all our vendors, we get all our end users there. So it's great, a great way for everyone to collaborate.
Yeah, certainly is a good forum. So yeah, thank you for that little introduction. So of course the main purpose of this podcast is really to update our Sophos partners on some of the things that are new and exciting that are happening at Sophos. So I guess probably one of the first things that we should talk about is the integration with Veeam for our XDR and our MDR product line.
Yeah, a hot topic at the minute.
Yeah, it is indeed. It is indeed, and it's one that we've talked about an awful lot actually at Sophos, and it is great to see that that is now available. And by the time this podcast goes out, it will be available for both termed and our MSP customers as well.
Yeah, which is great.
It is, yeah. So I mean, just as a little bit of a reminder about what that's all about, it's taking telemetry from the Veeam backup solution and reporting in suspicious events
Okay.
into our MDR and XDR platforms so that we can either highlight those interesting activities to the end user or our MDR desk can carry out an investigation themselves. And this is pretty important because we know that the cyber criminals will often target backups in the early stages of a ransomware attack. Of course, it's fairly self-evident that no organization that becomes a victim is going to pay the cyber criminals off if they've got a backup that they can recover from. So we do see actions like deleting backup repositories, changing the username and/or password associated with those backups, which is effectively locking out the organization from their own backups, or otherwise allowing the backup software to copy corrupted material. So ransomed documents, and then marking that volume as being ransomware clean, which again is basically just destroying the backup via another and slightly different mechanism. So activities of that nature that involve the administrator either removing volumes or changing passwords or marking volumes as clean, these are all things that will trigger off investigations. And it's a good indicator, like I said, that maybe an organization is at the early stages of some kind of ransomware sort of style attack, really. So yeah, that's a good integration. Glad to see that one's off the ground. If you happen to have caught the monthly technical update for March, then we did get a speaker in from Veeam to explain a bit more about where the telemetry come from, how it's set up,
Yeah.
how it be licensed. So if you are a Veeam partner, that is a great resource there to help you get the most out of that integration.
Yeah, it's definitely worth having a listen to.
Yeah, the other one that we've got as well, which has flown a little bit under the radar, is an integration with the Cisco umbrella. So
Okay.
So there may well be many partners using Cisco Umbrella. Obviously, we've just launched and announced our own DNS protection service, but Cisco's been out there and doing that for a good while now. So for anybody who's using that platform, again, all of the DNS inquiries are fed into the Sophos data lake once you configure it up, and obviously queries for interesting or suspicious URLs and resources, again, they'll be flagged up as part of an investigation. So it's really good to see if you've got indicators of compromise that involve DNS inquiries and looking out for command and control service, for example, from cyber criminals, then again, you can carry out investigations using that integration as well. So that's another one to look out for. That comes under the network integration packs. Yeah, that's definitely one to look out for, and definitely a good way of getting some extra value out of that product as well. You talked to us a little bit about supporting your partners, and obviously we're really keen on supporting our partners as well. So this isn't particularly a technical update as such, but it's one that's really important that people should be aware of. We've recently opened our partner care team. That allows our partners to use that desk to carry out some sort of routine day-to-day kind of operations and tasks. So being able, for example, to contact that desk if we need to do things like license changes or to get some assistance with changing ownership of accounts, day-to-day administration and checking quotes and that sort of thing is all good from there as well. On a slightly more technical angle, the partner care team is also offering assistance with the NFR products as well.
Could you just go into that in a little more detail, I suppose, for some of our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So the NFR program is there. So NFR, not for resale, is there really to allow our partners to use Sophos products and in some cases services as well to help protect their own estate, so protecting their own IT infrastructure. But also the NFR program is a great way for partners to get hands-on with our technology. So it gives them obviously exposure into running things like the Sophos Central Console, maybe using equipment like our firewall. But in the past, the NFR program has largely been managed by our distribution partners and also our channel account managers here at Sophos as well. And it is something which can take up a little bit of time. So the partner care team is now there to help out with the NFR side of things. So requesting NFRs, activating those licenses and checking eligibility. You know, obviously, at different partner tiers, you might have eligibility for different license counts and that kind of thing. And then also helping out when it comes up for renewal. So the idea of that is really just to take the administrative burden off people like yourself, Ross, and your colleagues,
Yeah, of course, yeah.
and also to take the burden off our account managers at Sophos, so we can all be freed up to, you know, give that helpful advice and do the things that we should be doing, and leaving some of those administration tasks to the partner care team. In the future, that will be expanded as well. So we'll be looking at being able to assist with things like credit and rebooks. So if a partner's inadvertently ordered the wrong product or wrong license, for example, then if it's a fairly basic like-for-like swap, then being able to handle some of those activities as well. So we're really pleased to see that team is out there. I had a little look at the satisfaction results for that team not so long ago, and that was all looking really, really good. So we are very pleased to announce that team, and we continue to see that growing, and hopefully that will make everybody's lives easier, and we can all focus on doing the important stuff, really.
Yeah, so what's been going on with Sophos from a technology point of view?
Okay, so there's a couple of things that you probably ought to be aware of. We talked a little bit about the adaptive attack protection in some of the earlier episodes, and one of the things I said that would be changing is that we would be giving additional options and configuration capabilities for the adaptive attack protection, and that's now manifested itself. So if you hop into Sophos Central now, you will see in the rules and policies for the endpoint, there is an additional section there which is headlined adaptive attack protection. There is a slider to turn that service on or off. By default, it is enabled. So it's retrospectively been switched on for everybody. And unless you've actually gone in there and switched it off, then that's operating today. This is, as a reminder, is there as basically a set of behavioral rules that trigger if we detect the telltale signs that there is a human operative at the other end of an attack. So if the human operative at the other end is changing techniques, pivoting to different devices, the system is designed to really suspend the capabilities of the kind of platforms and services that the cyber criminals would want to use to further their attacks. So removing things like the ability to use remote desktop services, removing the ability to use things like PowerShell, for example. So taking the tools away from the cyber criminal. What we now also have as well is a set of persistent rules that are enabled by the policy configuration. These are not enabled by default, but these are highly recommended to switch on. And that is basically in conjunction with the safe mode abuse as a tactic. So what some of the cyber criminals will do is, in order to attack a device, if they can't disable the incumbent protection, they might force the device to reboot into safe mode because they know that in many cases, safe mode is going to preclude the ability to run protection. So you can turn on for Windows devices the protection for safe mode abuse and also enabling protection off safe mode. So if the device has successfully been rebooted into safe mode, as long as you've got one of the more recent agents on there, so 2023.2 or more recent, then actually that can run protection even in safe mode. So that's going to basically close that loophole associated with forcing the device into a state of reboot and potentially leaving it vulnerable. So very, very useful additional rules in there. So again, while you're conducting health checks, while you're checking out the configuration of your end users' environments, just make sure that adaptive attack protection is switched on. Like I said, it should be switched on by default anyway, but then also just check out those extra safe mode abuse options as well. And again, as a reminder, if you're looking into the data lake and you're looking at any kind of triggers that have handles like disrupt or prevent, these are going to be the detections that are associated with the adaptive attack protection. So you can actually see where that functionality is doing its thing. On the subject of data lakes and on the subject of querying those data lakes, it's worth mentioning that the inside Software Central, you will find the ability to control what is actually received into the data lake. While we host that infrastructure, as an end user organization's configuration dictates, we will only receive certain types of data, and it's not obviously going to be enabled by default, particularly for non-Sophos products. So if you happen to be using a bunch of products that are compatible with the data lake, and if you've purchased those integration packs as well, then do make sure you've enabled the data lake upload so that we've got the very best telemetry there, so we can see not only telemetry from our own products but also a host of third parties as well, because that will enable either you as the end user organization, if you're running XDR, or our MDR desk to carry out the best caliber investigations, because obviously we'll have more telemetry in there. So it is surprising actually sometimes how we look at customers' environments, and when we conduct our own health checks at Sophos, we see end users that are maybe not getting the most out of their product because they're not enabling those third-party integrations. And do bear in mind that some of those are actually provided free of charge, so there's no real reason not to be using those to get the most out of those products. So definitely something I would highly recommend investigating. On the subject of recommendations, actually, as well, just before we leave the endpoint theme, worth mentioning that IDC have recently announced us as leaders in the modern endpoint space for mid-sized businesses. So we are up in the top right-hand corner of that particular diagram, which of course seems universally to be the best place to be in all of these reports, seems to be towards the top right. So it's great to see us up there, and great to see that industry validation. In particular, IDC actually called out our product set, the fact that we've got such an expansive product set. And also, they did call out the integration into existing cybersecurity investments as well, saying it's great that Sophos understands and meets the challenges and needs of mid-sized organizations. And yeah, it's great to see that endorsement. That's a super, super ringing endorsement of our products and also our strategy.
So, what currently is happening for network security now at Sophos?
Okay, so there's a couple of extra reports available and some really useful resources. In particular, I'm thinking about the Firewall Policy Assessment Report. This is available inside Software Central, and it's probably very, very relevant for those organizations that are running a managed service. So if you've got a fleet of Sophos firewalls that are maybe deployed across multiple different customer locations, this is really helpful. Or if you happen to be an end user that's got lots of sites, and again, maybe maintaining your own fleet of quite a few Sophos firewalls. The policy assessment report is a combination of things, actually. It is essentially a management overview of the firewall protection. So it's showing things like what threats have been blocked. It's showing how those devices are returning on the investment that's been made in them, showing the protection that they're offering. But it's also a quite a nice inventory report as well. So you can get a list of all of your assets in there. And again, particularly if you happen to be a managed service provider, it is really, really good as well at being able to detect where licenses are up for renewal. So flagging those early to make sure that you're acting on those renewals. And it's also good as well to show you the health status. So, you know, is the device overloaded? Is it working with the parameters? You know, how is it looking from a configuration perspective? So really, really good high level report, which is particularly good for the techies, as I say, to be able to make sure those devices are operating at peak efficiency. So nice little addition in there as well. So again, you'll find that inside Software Central. Staying with the networking theme, actually, just talking about the access points. So our AP6 access points now support a mesh mode. If you're not familiar with this concept, then essentially the purpose of both variants of a mesh mode is to extend a wireless network into spaces that are not physically connected. So you've basically got a root access point which is plugged into the wired network and attached to the internet and attached to Software Central that way. But if you've got a wide open space maybe, or you've got an office environment that doesn't have any wired infrastructure, you can then subsequently put in additional AP6 access points. So they're listening on the one hand to the network and then repeating it. So extending the range of that wireless network without actually having any physical connectivity. There is also a bridge mode as well, which is quite nice. This is quite good, actually, for extending both a wired network and a wireless network where there may not be initially any physical connectivity. So imagine a sort of simple scenario where maybe you've got something like an outbuilding that's not physically connected to the central site. You can put an access point in, again, a root access point that's plugged into the core network. And that can broadcast the wireless network, which another device in that outbuilding could then be receiving. And you could plug in a wired network to that access point so that you're effectively continuing the Ethernet connection, but spanning a gap in terms of physical connectivity. There are, in both cases, of course, a bit of a trade-off to be had here. It will degrade the performance just because of the way these technologies work. But it is a nice way, like I said, of extending coverage to areas where maybe the physical connectivity is not an option for whatever reason. So yeah, that's a good one. Coming back to NFRs, actually, and just thinking about one of the topics that we talked about last time was the ZTNA offering from Sophos. One of the things that we've seen a lot of partners do is they started to enable the NFR services for ZTNA. Maybe if they've got a Sophos firewall already, then they can turn on the ZTNA services, and that's a good way to see how that works, get some exposure to that technology. The reason that ZTNA comes to mind is fairly recently, again, in another industry validation, Kupernika Cole recently put us towards the top right of their particular set of research and evaluation into ZTNA platforms. And this is quite interesting because there were 19 ZTNA vendors in that evaluation, and we found ourselves in towards the top right. And they were particularly impressed with things like our product direction, product leadership. They were also quite pleased to see that integrated into the firewall. So you've got basically a Sophos firewall that are doing double duty as a protection element and also are acting as a remote access service as well. So yeah, if you've not played around with the ZTNA service before, then again, have a little look at the NFR capabilities that you've got there. If you've got a Sophos firewall in-house already, you could be switching that on and get some exposure into that, which I think you'll find very, very beneficial.
Okay, John, that's great. So is there anything else, events-wise, possibly that you'd like to discuss with our listeners?
There's a few things that maybe the listeners might have missed that are pretty interesting and worth another little look at. One of them in particular, actually thinking about it, we did a webinar on the 14th of February that was looking at the dark side of AI. I found that one particularly interesting. So that one was headed up by my colleague Christopher Budd, and he was showing off some of the ways that cyber criminals use AI and large language models. In particular, at the risk of doing a bit of a spoiler, they use AI to stand up a malicious website, which is essentially acting as a storefront, but actually in the background is harvesting things like credit card details and that sort of thing. And it's amazing how quickly you can use AI to stand those things up. So that's worth a bit of a watch. That's quite thought-provoking. There's a couple of new tech vids out as well. So again, if you've not seen tech vids before, I'd encourage the audience to go and have a little look at that. Those are great resources, basically like how to guides on how to do different things. And there's some stuff around firewall version 20, how to configure IPsec and SSL, a remote access. That's worth a watch. There's also a little workshop there looking at ZTNA. And again, I've mentioned using the ZTNA capabilities of your software's firewall. So that one is definitely one to look out for. The other big thing that we're talking about a lot at the moment at Sophos is related to our partner roadshows. So although we don't actually have one in Ireland, of course, there will be plenty of the audience that are listening in the UK. So it's worth highlighting those things to you. So our partner roadshows are going to be branded Sophos Experience, and we've got two of those happening in the UK, which you are highly encouraged to register for. The first one is in London on June the 12th, which feels like a long way away, but it'll be here before we know it. And I'm sure these are going to be really popular events. The second one is on the 2nd of July, and that's going to be in Manchester. So in both cases, we're having a cycling themed events, and these will be hosted at both the London and Manchester velodromes. We've got some fantastic guests. So cycling legend Sir Christopher Hoy is going to be joining us in London, which is why I think that will be a really popular event. And we'll be presenting whilst the British Olympic team are actually practicing for the Paris Olympics. So that's going to be a sight to behold and a real spectacle as well. So not only, of course, will we have that cycling theme, but we will also have some fantastic speakers, some experts from Sophos, presenting on both sort of sales and technical topics. So there's something in this for everybody. And like I said, it may seem like it's a long way away, but I'd highly encourage you to register as we're expecting to sell out, so to speak, on these events. So just one more time, a reminder, the London event is on the 12th of June, and the Manchester event is on the 2nd of July, and we would love to see you there. Ross, have you got any events that Arrow are doing that you might want to talk about as well before we wrap up?
So for Arrow Ireland, we ourselves have our TechNow event, which Sophos is one of the main vendors there. This is for all our end users. I'll just remind everyone again, it'll be November, December time of year. We also have our UK event, which is happening in the Crystal Maze, the Thursday, the 18th of April, that's happening. So you can contact your Arrow account managers to register for that.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, Ross, it's been great to hear from Arrow Ireland on this podcast. Much appreciated. Yeah, it was good to get your insights, and I appreciate that. To all our listeners, thank you, of course, for listening, and do stay tuned to the next one in a month's time. In the interim, take care and goodbye for now.